This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Brian Wood writes for the Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com, and joins us here as our green and gold football reporter for the Green Bay, for our coverage of the Green Bay Packers on the Wendy's Big Show. Goodness gracious. The weekend down in Nashville. I just can't even talk. I welcome
you
in.
Well, though.
I welcome in Ryan Wood on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Woody,
appreciate the time, man.
Hey, no problem. Yeah, that Nashville trip must have treated you pretty well.
Yeah, it was interesting. And coming up, I do promise there's a story of why I didn't think that I was going to be able to make it back. But we'll get into that in a little bit. Ryan, just looking on the surface right now, after the big four signings that the Packers have, you see Clay Matthews walk out the door. You see Randall Cobb leave on contracts that, from what we had known, it appeared that the Packers would have been able to do. Just how much money do they have expendable at the moment for free agents?
Well, I think it was Field Yates of ESPN that tweeted out a few days ago that they're right around the $14 million mark. But that can really be deceiving because you see $14 million and you think, okay, they have plenty of cash. But in reality, they're going to use a good $4 million of that to sign their draft picks. There's a good $6 million of that traditionally they wanted to roll over into next season just to have that room on hand. Now, this season, they don't really have anyone that they need to extend during the season. They don't have a Mike Daniels or a David Bakhtiari that they can extend, that really have to extend during the season. Usually that's what that money's for. But even still, they're not going to want to tick that clock all the way to zero. I mean, they're going to want some cap space. So if you start adding up the particulars of what they usually do with their money from a reserve standpoint, from signing the draft picks in the past, that is not really $14 million there. So, they're more around the $5 million mark, and it's in terms of what they can use in free agency. And when you get to that number, you're talking about a lot of depth signings. I mean, they did go out and they had a visit with Curtis Riley, who then left Green Bay and signed with the Raiders. They chose not to, as you said, resign Clay Matthews. Did not resign Jake Ryan. Did not resign Rashad Breeland, who is signed with Kansas City and figures to be a starter there. So a lot of those guys that maybe they would be interested in are off the market. Maybe they have a reunion in the works with Muhammad Wilkerson. I have no reporting on that, but they would have the money for a signing like that. The big fish, one, they're gone. The first year is over. But two, they don't really have the money for major signings in terms of the cap space that they have allotted to them right now.
Well, you know, if you look at it, Ryan, too, though, major players are going off the team. If you go back to last year, Jordy Nelson, now you're talking Randall Cobb, now you're talking Clay Matthews, now you're talking Nick Perry. I mean, there are some major guys that are no longer with this team. Are we on some sort of renaissance right now where it's maybe a rebuilding right now for the Green Bay Packers and Brian Gutekunst?
I think it's pretty – if you go back and look, it's pretty consistent with the amount of turnover that there is year in, year out. I mean, it's like a 30% turnover every year. Now, it might seem more because of the names you mentioned.
Yeah,
those names are on the forefront of anybody's mind that knows about this team. But I remember like 2 years after the NFC title game collapsed in Seattle, looking at how many guys were, you know, that 16 season, how many guys had played in that game. And it wasn't, I think it's pretty consistent with the pattern that's been over the past few years.
Yeah, I think they're starting now. Teams are just trying to save a few, I call it giblets, the 1 year deals for, they want maybe at the back of the draft, sign more guys because it's going to be more guys get released normally in June. With that being said, I think they still concentrate on offensive line in the draft, but I also heard that they want to bring in some more linemen so that first pick does not have to be so high for offensive linemen.
Yeah, I think what's interesting about what they did in free agency, when we talk about the defensive side, how that set up the draft, because they obviously bolstered that edge rush position, and it's still a need in the draft. They need to still go out and draft an edge rusher, but it's not the need that it was before. They added the Zaria Smith and Preston Smith. But the offensive side, they really did the same thing, because in Billy Turner, I mean, it's easy to just say he's going to start at right guard, and I think that the odds-on favorite right now is that he will be the starting right guard. But he can play tackle. And if you look at him, he looks like a tackle. He's tall, lean. He's athletic. He's played tackle before. They still have Brian Bulaga, obviously, on their roster. And if he remains on the roster, you pencil him in as a starting right tackle. But I think what Billy Turner's presence allows them to do is, instead of saying we have to go and get a tackle or we have to get a guard, they can get the best lineman at either spot and really feel good about putting Billy Turner either way, in case of Brian Bulaga gets injured. He's had an injury history, obviously, or in case he doesn't play well. Like, I mean, there's a lot of contingency plans that he provides, a lot of flexibility that he provides on that offensive line. So that sets up their draft pretty well too. I think that you're absolutely right. It's going to be a very much a focus, the offensive line in the draft, because of what Matt LaFleur wants to do in this outside zone scheme and how much he wants to run the football. That's going to be a focus of theirs.
What's your reaction to the opening up against Chicago, the NFL 100th season? I mean, it's the oldest rivalry. Matt LaFleur will be on a big stage, and everybody's going to want to find out how Aaron Rodgers is going to be and how the team is going to look. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's interesting how it just kind of flips the script. I mean, last year's the Chicago Bears have a first-time head coach in Matt Nagy, and their first game they're heading to Lambeau Field, and Matt Nagy's getting a taste of that rivalry right off the bat. Now it's the Packers, who first game with Matt LaFleur, are going to be going to Soldier Field, and certainly they hope that trip goes better than the Bears trip did to Lambeau Field last year. But it's interesting because obviously the league usually opens up with defending Super Bowl champ hosting that Thursday night game. This being their 100th season, they're going with the Packers and the Bears in the oldest rivalry. I mean, I think it's really fitting. It's a break from tradition, but it's kind of to honor the history of the league. And I mean, there's just no better way, in my opinion at least, to start off the 100th season. And also for the Packers, it'll be kicking off their 100th birthday. They just finished their 100th season. It'll be their 101st season, but it'll be about a month from that August 11th, 1919 date when they were founded. So it's fitting on many levels.
Let me ask you, because I know we haven't had you in a while. Did the Packers get better with the Smith brothers over Nick Perry and Clay Matthews?
Oh, I think so. First and foremost, they're younger and they're healthier. I mean, that just start right there. They're also, I mean, they're, to me, they don't strike me as guys that are going to go out there and put up 15 sacks. But
it doesn't seem like that.
They're solid football players. Especially with a Preston Smith, he sets an edge a lot like a Nick Perry did. I mean, you go back when Nick Perry was healthy, mm-hmm. he could rush the passer, but his real strength was really in the run game and his overall game, his balance, the fact that he could rush the passer, but you could play him on rundowns as well. Preston Smith is like that, only he's played all 64 games in his career, obviously unlike Nick Perry. I mean, he's a very healthy version of that balanced edge defender who can do both, and you don't have to take him off the field. And Za'Darius Smith, he's a guy that you can play him all across that defensive line. I mean, Brian Gutekunst made it very clear that he can play three tech in the sub package on passing downs. I mean, he can be an interior rusher, and he can also obviously slide out to the edge. So that gives that front flexibility. These guys are not your all-pro type pass rushers. They're guys that add to that depth chart. I still think they need to go get a twitchy speed rusher in the draft. I mean, that to me is still a need. I wrote about this, I think, last week. Mm-hmm. You need four guys that can rush the passer. I mean, it's not just a starting two. You need four. You need to have a rotation of four. Right now, I think the Packers look at it as they've got the two Smiths, they got Kyler Fackrell, they need to go add one more guy, but they're a lot closer to being complete at that position than they were previously, not you know, it's no small thing that those guys stay on the field, and Clay Matthews, even more, Nick Perry, had a hard time doing that over the course of the past several years.
There he is.
Ryan, final thing for you. We'll have a little fun here. You you make a NCAA bracket. How are you faring here after the first weekend?
Oh, I'm killing it. Now Duke almost killed me.
Yeah, well, it killed everybody.
I almost killed it. Yeah. But, no, I got 13 of my Sweet 16 teams in. All my Elite Eight is still there. I went all chalk this year. I felt kind of like a jerk doing that. But it just felt like a chalky tournament, and it's been a chalky tournament. I mean, we could, I guess, use a few more upsets. But, no, the bracket's doing good.
All right, there's Ryan Wood. We'll check in, see exactly where you slotted in for the national championship. We'll talk a lot more NFL draft, a lot more from Ryan Wood coming up here on the Wendy's Big Show in the coming weeks and months as we are 164 days away from Packers and Bears September 5th at Soldier Field. Ryan, appreciate it, man.
All right, take care.
That's Ryan Wood joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common-sense lending to your community since 1935.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.